Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. It was one of the worst mass shootings in our nation's history. October 1st last year, the Las Vegas Route 91 Harvest Country Music Festival, 58 people killed, more than 800 wounded. On October 23rd, the Vegas Strong Resiliency Center opened to provide free resources and support to anyone affected by the October 1st shootings, including survivors, family members of victims, responders, those who witnessed the incident or tried to assist the victims, also possible financial assistance for expenses not covered by insurance. Since the Vegas Strong Resiliency Center opened, it has served nearly 7,000 people. The deadline for applying for benefits is October 1st of this year. Instrumental in spreading the word about the Vegas Strong program is Kevin Schiller, Assistant County Manager, Clark County, Nevada. Clark County has jurisdiction over the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. It's the nation's 14th largest county, covering an area the size of New Jersey. Among Kevin's responsibilities, the Departments of Family Service, Social Service, the Public Guardian, and Coroner Medical Examiner. A bachelor's degree in social work over two decades providing human services, Kevin Schiller, Clark County, Nevada, Assistant County Manager, with us on This Week in America. Kevin, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This is such an important message, and I threw a lot out there about the Vegas Strong Resiliency Center. Explain exactly what the center is and its purpose.
So the center was really set up about 3 weeks, really quickly after the initial incident. The Resiliency Center is really centered on providing a central hub and access to the Nevada Victims of Crime funding for anybody that was in attendance and or impacted. It is a center that is completely centered on assisting those and getting help to those that may need it now and in the future.
Let's talk about who it serves. I threw out a number of categories there. Talk about that, because basically anyone who was affected, who was impacted by the shooting, qualifies for some type of benefits from the center.
Correct. If you were, there's people in attendance, there were taxi drivers, there were first responders, there were family members of those that were in attendance. So anybody that was impacted in relationship to the event and kind of that immediate impact, we want to make sure we get them registered. And really there's two key components to that. One is, there may be people that are experiencing need right now and that need to ask for help, which people don't like to do. But the second piece is because of the trauma of the event, so not just physical injuries, but just experiencing the event, there can be trigger points that come up. It could be New Year's and fireworks. It could be another shooting that's on TV. It could manifest itself 2 years from now, and then they need help, and we want to make sure they're registered by October 1 so we can ensure we can get them services and funding to support them.
And that October 1st date, that's a hard, fast date, right? You've got basically 1 year from the time of the event to get people signed up for the program.
Correct. And it's in the victims of crime world, it kind of is dictated by state statute. In Nevada, it's 1 year. And we just have to make sure we get them registered with us. And then what we do is we get them coordinated to services and wherever they may be. This event obviously had an upwards of 22,000 attendees. In addition to those others that were around. So the other issue is because of that widespread, it's across the country, some in other parts of the world, we want to make sure we get them coordinated to services, and we're here to help them and to kind of not make this a bureaucratic process, but as quickly as possible get them directly to a provider.
The website to go to get information and to apply, and we'll talk about that process here in a second, but it's VegasStrongRC.org, VegasStrongRC.org. You can go to the website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly if you need to go in that direction. That's interesting, because if you hear Vegas in there, it's like, well, I'm from Montana. Can I qualify for this program? And basically, this is a borderless program.
That's absolutely right. You need to think of it as a hub across the country and quite frankly, the world. So anybody that was impacted, it doesn't matter what state you're calling from, we're going to get you registered, and then we're going to get you connected into services in your state. So as quickly as possible. We also have legal aid there to provide legal support services. Those that may be experiencing difficulty with job loss, work, those types of things, we have attorneys on staff also that are also there to advocate and assist.
So it's interesting, because if you're thinking, well, I wasn't injured, I'm not sure that I would qualify, you don't need to be injured, do you, to go to the center to use the benefits?
Absolutely not. the injury. Most people go to that physical injury component first, but this is really about you being impacted from the incident from a mental health, behavioral health perspective, from a coping perspective. It's really anybody that was essentially impacted that night, and so we can get them assistance within that realm.
We mentioned the one component of resources with financial support. I touched on that possible financial support to pay what insurance is not paying. Talk about how that works.
So you put the application in, and then what happens is there's kind of an individualized assessment in terms of what your needs are specific to benefits. We may look at what your current insurance is, but if you have co-pays, if you have outstanding medical bills, if you have things that, for example, even if you have outstanding medical bills and hadn't applied yet and you need legal advocacy to support you in how you meet those financial needs, that's why we have attorneys on staff. That seems to be a growing need. But also on the financial side, it's there to fill the gaps as we're trying to assist those individuals that were impacted.
We're getting close to that deadline of October 1st. Talk about the process for the application. I understand it's very simple, and you can actually do it online, so you could do it the day before if you needed to.
Yeah, you can do it online, and we want to make sure people just get to that website and get there. And then if they're having any difficulties at all, the number is right there to contact us via the website and or email so we can get you connected in ASAP.
It's interesting, the staff. Talk about staff, because these are professionals that you put together to handle this, and the confidentiality aspect of this is interesting as well. This is not a facility open to the public, is it? You are protecting everyone. You can remain totally anonymous.
Yeah, so I really try to encourage people. People are fearful in general when they kind of hear government say, reach out for services. It is a confidential location. It is not open to the public. In fact, it's not been open even from a media perspective during open hours. So that piece is key. Your application goes into a Nevada Victims of Crime database and a VSRC database that's completely confidential and compliant. And I just really want to encourage people that may have fear about that getting out to impact their employment or any of those things, that it is confidential and will remain confidential. It's simply here to get you the help you need in a confidential manner.
The website, once again, is VegasStrongRC.org. That's VegasStrongRC.org. With us, Kevin Schiller, Assistant County Manager, Clark County, Nevada. I mentioned in the beginning, among your responsibilities, the Office of Coroner and Medical Examiner. Let's go back to October 1st of last year. Literally within hours after the shootings, that department set up Family Assistance Center, Family Reunification Center, activated a 24-hour call center. You were there just about from the very beginning. Talk about that process and how it really put into play all the training you go through and probably stretched your resources there as well.
Yeah, so in our world of emergency management, and including myself, a lot of our experience has been, for example, I was in northern Nevada for a long period of time. It was on fires and wildfires and floods, and you go to a lot of emergency management training. But what I will say specific to the coroner and our responders, that training is what comes into key. And you talked about the Family Assistance Center and the crisis response. You know, we obviously had families immediately contacting. We needed to get services to individuals. The coroner, I can't commend him enough for his efforts in this process, just based on the numbers, but also the reality of setting up the Family Assistance Center. And it was a collaborative approach with the coroner, with our responders, fire, law enforcement, social service. That's what's trained for in terms of that process. But even with all the training, it was a very, chaotic process in terms of making sure we deliver those services, get in touch with family members, and then move from the crisis to the resiliency recovery process, which is, to be honest, is still in process every day. This is a long-term commitment for years.
Well, and that's what's interesting with the Resiliency Center. This is not like this ends anytime soon. You're going to be there. You mentioned something that's a key. If you're not impacted now or don't feel you're impacted now, you encourage people to go ahead, sign up by October 1st. If you don't need the services, fine. That's great. If you do need the services 6 months, a year from now, you're signed up and eligible.
Absolutely. We want to make sure anybody who knows anybody to get the message out, and it manifests itself in different ways. Some people may not experience it for years from now. And so we just need to make sure they're registered so we can get them the help.
Talk about the challenges in getting the word out. You mentioned before people affected from not only all across this country, but from other countries as well. What are some of the challenges in getting the word out? The Vegas Strong Resiliency Center is a marvelous asset that's helped a lot of people. I mentioned nearly 7,000 at this point have taken advantage of the services there. How difficult has it been to get the word out? In the Nevada area, that part of the West, probably not so difficult, but all across the country, and to get people to realize I'm not from Nevada, but I'm eligible.
So starting from the beginning, event itself is a unique challenge from other mass fatality events because, as I said, the scope of 22,000 plus individuals spread across the country and the world is one piece. The second piece is we do not have a master list, which is why this outreach is so appreciated. The way ticket sales work, most of the time, a lot of times they're bought in lots. So the ability to get that information and details is we do not have a master list. So all of our outreach has really been tied to, we had initial outreach from people that came to the Family Assistance Center, hospital registrations and multiple lists, but there is not one mass list of 22,000 people we can call. So we're really dependent on them contacting us, and you hit the nail on the head. The local outreach is probably a little easier based on the focal point of the community, but where we're really focused is on the national outreach to make sure we get that to every state in our country.
And from the beginning, I understand you were able to draw on experiences of Boston, Orlando, other communities that unfortunately have suffered the same type of mass shootings.
Absolutely, and the Resiliency Center itself was actually modeled after the Boston Resiliency Center and the Pulse Nightclub Resiliency Center. They were in contact with us immediately. Department of Justice funds our Resiliency Center through a grant. And so those consultants connected us with them. And so we, to be honest, we actually set up the Resiliency Center. It was a medical floor before it started, and we had it converted in about a four-day period to what it exists in today.
You know, it's amazing when you think back there from the very beginning, those initial few hours, the legal process of the death notifications that you had to go through, people calling, asking about loved ones from other parts of the country, the personal effects that were there, people with purses and cell phones and billfolds, that type of thing. So you've really got about a minute left here. You've really been there since the very beginning and now following it through by making sure people get the resources, have access to the resources that are there for them.
Absolutely. I mean, and to put it in context, obviously in Las Vegas, in our region, we have about 45 million visitors a year in terms of our tourism industry. When you look at this event, just the belongings and the evidence support tied to this took a massive amount of room at our convention center where we have mass conventions. So that was kind of your initial impact. And then I think the other piece moving forward is, you know, people tend to want to put it out of their mind. People want to go home. You know, the challenge is making sure that we keep the messaging going out. We will do that post October 1, because our goal is really to make sure, even post October 1, if somebody calls us, we're going to get them help and get them services. That's our mission.
We're talking about the Vegas Strong Resiliency Center, created to assist victims of the Las Vegas Route 91 Harvest Country Music Festival, October 1st of last year. Victims must apply by October 1st. Information on what benefits are available and to apply, go to the website VegasStrongRC.org. Our guest, Kevin Schiller, Assistant County Manager, Clark County, Nevada. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.